Hi, it's Friday, December 3rd. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. I want to talk a bit about personal responsibility, mainly because it's a huge topic, and Alec Baldwin's recent, let's call it, accident on the set of the movie Rust that he was making that resulted in the death of his director, is a perfect example of what personal responsibility means and the impact it has on the people around us. So I was watching outtakes from an interview that's coming up. I think it's going to be aired this weekend. It's George Stephanopoulos having interviewed Alec Baldwin for the first time since the tragic shooting occurred. They're just clips, they're outtakes, right? But Alec Baldwin says enough to be able to respond to some of what he has said and to respond in terms of this overview of personal responsibility. So what do I mean by all of that? Well, let me preface this by saying I've had experience with this topic of personal responsibility, not just obviously in my own life, we all do, but in raising my daughter when she was young. My daughter had a habit of whenever anything happened for which there might potentially be a consequence, she seemed to be a master at phrasing it in a way that absolved herself of all responsibility whatsoever. So for example, if a lamp was knocked over on the floor in a room that only she was in, and I would say what happened to the lamp, she would say the lamp fell off the table. Or if I found food or candy or whatever in her closet and I would say, what is this? She'd say, I found candy in my closet. Or on one occasion, one of my rings was missing and I found the ring in her night table. And I said, how did this get here? And she said, the ring was in my drawer. So the point you get is that it was never she knocked the lamp over, or I hid the candy in my closet, or I took the ring. It was always the object acted in its own behalf, or mysteriously, or in ghost-like fashion. This is sort of the explanation that Alec Baldwin has been giving relative to the tragedy on the set. What he said in the interview with George Stephanopoulos was, I was handed a cold gun. I was told the gun was cold. Cold meaning it didn't have live ammo in it. I aimed it at where she told me to aim it, meaning his director. I was completely under her direction. I asked if she wanted me to cock the gun. She said yes. So I take the gun and start to cock the gun. I'm not going to pull the trigger. And I adjust the angle. Because she keeps telling me to adjust the angle. I adjust the angle so she can see it in the camera. Then I let go of the hammer and the gun goes off. I didn't pull the trigger. I never would point a gun at someone and pull a trigger. I was told I was handed an empty gun. Now, when you say, I was handed a cold gun, I was told it was cold, you are basically handing off to the person that, no pun intended, handed you the gun, the responsibility for the gun having live ammo in it, the gun not being cold, on the person who handed you the gun. When you say you didn't pull the trigger, somehow the gun shot itself. And when you are aiming the gun and cocking the hammer at the direction of the, again, no pun intended, the director, it's what she's telling you to do. The responsibility is being handed off to her as well. This whole interview, at least the excerpts, appear to be a handing off of responsibility to either other people or an inanimate object. I've heard several analyses from a forensic standpoint, from people who know guns. I've heard several analyses of what potentially could have happened. That particular weapon, which was a Colt 45 reproduction, was a single action weapon. What that means is that it has to be cocked, the hammer has to be pulled back, and it has to be fired. A single action weapon actually takes two steps. The hammer has to be pulled back, has to be cocked, and you have to pull the trigger. So someone had to pull the trigger. Now, it is true that once that hammer is cocked, it doesn't take much for the trigger to pull. You can potentially just moving the gun, bringing it to you, pulling it out of the holster, you could exert enough force, or enough force could become exerted on that trigger to cause it to fire. Maybe. Because he acknowledges that he pulled the hammer back. But then he says he let go of the hammer, and that's when the shot occurred. I don't know what happened. We'll know, hopefully, when the forensic investigations are over and the witnesses have all told their story. However, he's also the producer of that movie, and he has two problems with the position that he's in. Number one, I don't care if someone tells you they've handed you a cold weapon. If you know anything about guns, and he's been on sets for decades, right? And this isn't his first movie, this isn't his first rodeo, so to speak, with a weapon. You check that weapon yourself. You don't take someone else's word that it's not loaded. He also says he doesn't know how a live round got into the gun, because there never should have been a live round in there. But again, he's the producer. So ultimately, it's like the president, right? The buck stops here. He's going to be responsible. He's going to be liable if there was gross negligence on that set that resulted, as it did, in the death of his director. He also has a responsibility, as I said, to have checked that gun himself, which he did not do. Now, there may be more to it. It may turn out that he did pull the trigger accidentally, or it may turn out that there are other circumstances that we're yet unaware of, because the thorough forensic investigation and the investigation of witnesses isn't complete. But nonetheless, there is personal responsibility. And when you attempt to totally abdicate it, and I can't get all caught up in his crying on camera because he's an actor, and I assume he can cry when he needs to. So I'm unmoved by his emotional response. I want to know the facts, but I also want personal responsibility, because we live in a world where no one wants it, or very few people want it, or an insufficient amount of people want it. For example, this morning I was listening to a CEO who does a great deal, millions, multi-million dollars of business in China every year. And when he was asked, well, how do you feel about the mass extermination of the Uyghur population by the Chinese, the enslavement, the sterilization, the torture, the rape, the concentration camps of Uyghurs in China, his response was, I don't know a lot about that issue. That's not where my focus is. My focus is on, you know, production of what we do. Well, hello, personal responsibility. You can't say that there is evidence in the world that we know of mass extermination of an entire group of people, and then say that that's not your focus, or that doesn't impact the fact that you're choosing to do business with the people who are doing the mass extermination. It is like the people who continued to do business with Adolf Hitler, knowing what was happening to the Jews and the gypsies and the handicapped and others in Germany in the 1940s. You just can't do that. Because here's what the ultimate outcome is. If you ask yourselves, if you say these corporations, and by the way, he wasn't the only one, Wynn Resorts, Steve Wynn out of Vegas, Amazon, Google, Qualcomm, Texas Instruments, these are all corporations that do billions of dollars of business a year with China, make millions of dollars of profit each year from China, with doing business with China, and they know what's going on. In fact, I understand that Apple makes some of its iPhone components in the slave labor camps that the Uyghurs are detained in. But we keep buying Apple iPhones, and it's okay. So how do we get these corrupt, greedy corporate CEOs who are all about profit and not personal responsibility? Well, the answer is it starts with you and me, because they're just persons, right? They're just individuals. If they live in a culture that condones abdicating personal responsibility, then why shouldn't they? I mean, it would be nice if they all had their own moral compass and it was all pointed due north, but they live in a culture and we're all subject to our culture. We're all subject to what's permissible and not permissible. We do it every day by how we dress, by how we act. We are influenced and we are controlled to some extent by the environments in which we live. So when individuals are abdicating personal responsibility, we shouldn't be surprised when certain individuals rise to positions of power or rise to positions of financial importance or technological importance, and they don't focus on personal responsibility because it's not a cultural priority anymore. So let's say that we're all responsible, right? We're all responsible for what's happening to the Uyghurs. And I say it that way because I am a proponent of the saying, there's only one of us. What does that mean? That means that spiritually, we're all connected. Spiritually, there's only one of us. We're all connected to an original source. We're all aspects or fractals or part of that hologram. We all emanate from the same place. If you go back far enough, if you go out far enough, we all come from the same source. But there's more than that. There's more than the spiritual aspect. There's what we know in physics and what we know in physiology and what we know in science generally, that complex adaptive systems, which is what humanity is, we are a complex adaptive system, that when you make a change in one part of the system, it reverberates and it will ultimately make a change or many changes in other parts of the system, which is why the old mechanical top-down way of fixing a company doesn't work anymore once we realize that companies are complex adaptive systems. And when you make a change in one department, you're going to ultimately affect changes in one or more other departments, which will then require an adaptation, which will then create its own reverberation, which will then require another adaptation. And that's the nature of complex adaptive systems. Well, we are one too. The human race is one also. And that is how we're all connected. It's where the expression, when a butterfly flaps its wings in Texas, wind patterns change in Japan. They may not change immediately. And I may not be in Japan when they change, but inevitably it will happen because everything affects ultimately everything else. It's all energy traveling within a system that is reverberating throughout that system, every single action and reaction that occurs. So let me bring this back to personal responsibility. If we are, as individuals, shirking personal responsibility, whether it's familial personal responsibility, whether it's parenting responsibility, whether it's our responsibility as grown children to return that responsibility to parents who at one point cared for us, if we are shirking responsibility in our workplaces, if we think it's okay to steal a few pencils and not call it stealing or take some things home from the office because they've got so much and they're making so much profit and nobody needs to know anyway, if we hit an animal and don't stop knowing that it's not dead, if we're in a car and we keep going, if we hit a person and we keep going, all of these are examples of shirking personal responsibility. And every time you do it, it gets a little easier to do it the next time. It's like anything else. You get used to it, right? And then it becomes easier. It's the opposite of building a muscle. You build the muscle, it gets stronger every time you work it. So does shirking responsibility get easier every time you shirk it. And so Alec Baldwin's response to what happened doesn't surprise me. It saddens me, but it doesn't surprise me. And I hope that if there is a finding, a forensic finding, and an evidentiary finding, and actually a trial, and it's shown that he and or others are personally responsible, if not in a criminal sense, then I hope in a civil case, the family of the deceased brings a wrongful death action. And if they do, there's another complication, and it will be this. In that same interview with George Stephanopoulos, Alec Baldwin was asked, as he stood over her for, in his words, about 60 seconds after it occurred, before the police came and ushered them out of the building in which they were filming, he was asked, was she conscious? And he said, from my perspective, yes. And so if she was in fact conscious for however long that was before she passed, not only will the wrongful death action include compensation for her life, it will also include compensation for her pain and suffering, for every minute that she laid there dying, but conscious. So personal responsibility is a huge issue. Oftentimes I say that there are events that give us an opportunity to step back and look at something from a different vantage point. And so I would suggest that we all allow the Alec Baldwin situation and his response and his manner of response in attempting to blame everything from the people to the inanimate object other than himself, that we all take a moment and hesitate and think about personal responsibility in our own lives, how we're handling it. Have we gotten comfortable shirking it? Have we gotten ever more comfortable shirking it? And perhaps is it time to rein that back in and take personal responsibility for our thoughts, for our words, and for our actions? Thanks for listening. I'm Carol Gold. I'll be back here again on Monday. And until I do, have a wonderful weekend. Happy Hanukkah to my Jewish listeners. And think for yourself always.